actually. It'll, I'm just mean audio recording, right? So that's, okay, look, I'm very happy to do this, and will you cut me, cut us off the conversation? Just a brief background. In the, I did a paper which was involved using audio, live streaming, text, embedded tweet, video tweet, and a piece of longer audio and a piece of text. So I assembled this into one thing. It would, I mean, I have to tell you that it would take you an hour to consume the whole thing if you did consume the whole thing. So I assume nobody has consumed the whole thing. But it's all about the future is virtual, or is it? So you know how the future is always generated from something in the past. It comes forward in pieces from the past. So I'm going to ignore the past at the moment, but you will see that what all of the future... So I'm going to go forward about 3 years. And the question I want to offer you is really, what is, put it very concretely, what's the future of face-to-face communication in 3 years' time? To what extent will it change? To what extent will it be regarded as the best, the most secure, the most honest, the most reliable way of communicating between people? We carry with us, I think, decades and decades and centuries of face-to-face communication, and we've only very recently had an alternative to face-to-face communication of the digital type. I'm not talking about smoke signals, I'm not talking about carrier pigeons, I'm not talking about all those things that we did have in the past, but I'm just contrasting face-to-face with the digital. Now, by digital I mean you know, everything from kind of Facebook to Snapchat to Musical.ly to any apps you want to talk about, and the use of websites and all that kind of thing. The problem I see facing into the next, you know, looking ahead 3 years is that there's going to be acutely even more pressure on face-to-face communication, meaning that there are at the moment children, and let's just take children. It happens in other arenas too. But there are children who are not wanting to have a family meal because they prefer to be on their digital device. There are some parents who are tearing their hair out about this and who are feeling that they are either poor parents or at war with their children continuously. Now, if you just project that type of situation, which I'll use a word somebody used in the last thing, is almost like, for me, it's archetypical. You know, this is happening all over the place in different ways. Just to give one extreme example, there are people who are in, let us say, and apparently satisfying interpersonal relationship with somebody who they profess to love and who professes to love them. But that person may also be in a relationship via the internet in which they are doing things that would be regarded as very intimate, with either very interesting detailed discussions or something of a sexual nature. So people are... and of course when that happens and it's found out, some relationships say, oh, that's fine, we're both doing it, but other relationships are actually collapse, you know. I've had somebody in my kitchen who was in total bits, absolute bits, for over 2 hours because she had been unfollowed by three people on the internet.
Oh God.
And I'll have a bet that some of you at least have had that, not that you've been unfollowed, but that you know someone who it was very upset when they were defriended or blocked or whatever, you know. So we go into a situation where people are spending, it seems, more and more time on the digital. The children born after 1990 haven't known a world without digital. And if you were to say to young people today, where are you from? Some of them might say, I'm actually from the internet. If you think about where they get their ideas, where their BFF is, all of that stuff, right? So it's possible to be, I would actually have to admit, because this was a position put to me by somebody once, I would have to admit that I actually, if I was to give a complete answer of where I'm from, I would have to say from the internet, because I have been a massive user of it. My social circles are not just the face-to-face people. I have contacts all over the world, and these are not trivial contacts. These are serious people who, when I've met them, I, you know, give them a genuinely huge hug and say how utterly lovely it is to meet them. And of course, it all gets transformed. And you can go from a digital connection via comment on somebody's blog. I give one case study, a comment on somebody's blog, followed up then by some Twitter, followed up then by some audio. I use a lot of audio communication. You can do it on WhatsApp, by the way, in case anybody wants to know. You can communicate with somebody on WhatsApp by audio, unlimited audio. Right? You can also do video, of course. But the other thing is then Skype, of course. You go to Skype. So then where do you go after that? Well, you usually feel like, let's move on to the next level, let's meet. Sometimes you skip a level. But my point really is about the, which I'd love you to chat about, I'll keep it very short. Is face-to-face communications really facing as big a threat as I feel it is? Is despite the fact, do you also, together with me, think it's a really exciting future we're heading into? And you know, are we heading towards a world in which, you know, virtual marriages, virtual courtship, virtual education is going to be extraordinarily attractive, and the face-to-face is going to be in serious trouble unless people work at building more trust, more genuineness, unless it's more satisfying? Because I certainly hold the view that huge amount of face-to-face communication is terribly unsatisfactory, causes mental unwellness, causes stress, causes people to have trouble at work, have trouble in personal relationships. So face-to-face relationships are not unproblematic. End of what I want to say, please. That's,
So I was thinking when you were saying that, as you're talking about social media, how many of you that I had met before, I had in person before on Twitter, mm-hmm. on social media. And I'm more of a Twitter person than Facebook, that I don't have Facebook. So I definitely met you in person at least once.
Indeed.
I think we were introduced by email, and then I did an event for you that you organised, and then we followed each other on Twitter. I never met you, but I've been following you on Twitter for a long time. I never met you before yesterday, but we've been following on Twitter, and because your picture's on Twitter, I recognised him in the billiards room last night. I hadn't met you before you were in the billiards room, so I remember you, but I hadn't met you before. And I met you last night, and we began following each other immediately.
Yeah.
So the amount of time since you meet to start following virtually is being reduced, because I might have gone through a couple of years, which I did with you, where we've been following each other for a long time. I couldn't remember why I was following you, but probably you followed me, I followed you. Or did we meet, or whatever. No, but we didn't meet until today. Whereas Ginger followed me last night. I didn't know her from Adam or Eve, and I followed back, and then I met you about 2 minutes later. And I don't know, I could be following you, and I just don't know. You know, and you might be on Twitter, or you might be, and I just don't know, or I could be LinkedIn with you. I could be LinkedIn with you. You look very familiar, I could be LinkedIn with you. You know, we've become creatures that don't actually realise what our social media presence is, because if you have a wide one, and you're quite happy to be, what's the right word, promiscuous with your agreements,
right.
Yes, I'll follow you. And what happens then when you realise, well, wait a minute, someone said that they met someone and they had a mutual follower with you, because LinkedIn will say, oh yeah, you're connected to Lisa because she knows you and you know her. Well, wait a minute, neither of us really know Lisa, maybe, or maybe neither of us really know you, but suddenly we have a connection because we both agreed to be LinkedIn to him.
Yeah. Mm.
Now then, you bring it into the relationships thing. That's more scary because I want to date Lisa. Let's pretend I meet Lisa and I'm thinking...
Call me later, I'll give you a card.
Yeah, I'm looking up Lisa in the bar because I just met her and I think, you know, I might ask this lady out. And I'm looking her up and it goes, oh, you're connected through... Sorry, John! I don't remember John. Did I meet John? Now I'm one of those promiscuous guys, okay? Because you know what? I go and I give a lecture. It's my job to give guest lectures. And this week I gave 3 guest lectures. And the biggest one had 90 people and the smallest one had 4. Okay? Now you give the lecture.
So 90 people followed you?
I tell the students, I say, how many of you have a LinkedIn? And a few of them do. And I say, you all want to graduate this year. You all want to get jobs. You won't get a job without LinkedIn. I don't like that, but it's true.
That's true.
And they go, oh, yeah. So you knew that. Oh, yeah. But you don't have LinkedIn. I said, so I'll tell you what. You want to be LinkedIn with me? You know? Because I'm giving jobs out like candy. And I say, I will follow anyone in this class who attended this lecture. Your mates who didn't get out of the bed, they don't get it. If you set up a profile within the next 24 hours and send a LinkedIn request to me saying you're a student in this class, I will agree to it. Even though I don't know you, but I know that you attended the lecture and I will agree to it on that basis.
Right.
I did that in Tralee last week, 147 students. And I got the attendance list and there was 147 students and 11 lecturers in the room. So every student did it because they're in Tralee. And they're trying to make a contact with someone who's hiring in Microsoft in Dublin. Mm. So they do it. So you could be one of those students. I know you're not. But let's pretend, okay? And I don't really know what your connection is there. And you don't know what my connection is here. And I'm hardly going to reach out and say, is Lisa a good bet?
Are you doing Lisa?
Sorry? I'm working on it here.
No, you're asking him. You're asking him in a roundabout way.
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm not going to reach out and say, what do you think of Lisa? I'm going to reach out and say, do you know Lisa? I'm not going to do that because we're already in this mesh. I might use it.
I ask all the time.
Yeah, for business reasons. I'm trying to date her. I walk up and I might say, oh, we both know each other.
Why not?
Because I'm that type of guy who wouldn't reveal it.
Oh, I will stop recording it.
That's okay. That's okay if
you delete that last.
No, let me just say it.
Stephen's wife might like this conversation.
I'll delete. All right. Hold on. I will stop recording, right?
The point is that I promise. Go beyond the business. When I say talk,